Testing. Hey. Can you hear me now? No, turn it up a little bit. It's not on. The green light's on. Oh, well. I have a big mouth. Praise the Lord. Don't say amen. How come you said amen about that? Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. You guys still got one of them handhelds up here, or did you take it with you? Bring me one of those if you would, Travis. I can't stand in one place. I have a difficult time doing that. And so let me have one of those. Thank you very much. Isaiah chapter number 1. We wanted to make Travis run around. He needed to exercise today. And so Isaiah chapter number 1. I appreciate that song. It's always about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad for the blood. You know, we wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the blood of Christ. And we wouldn't have anything to rejoice about. We wouldn't have anything to hope for. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But Isaiah chapter number 1. In my Bible reading, I've been going through the book of Isaiah. And I got to Isaiah chapter 1. And I've been on verse 1 through 9 for a while. And we're going to read about that this morning. I'm going to preach a message to you. Hopefully be a help and encouragement to you. But it was to me. And I pray that it'll be a blessing and a help to you. If you would stand with me as we read the Word of God, we're going to start reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 9 in the book of Isaiah. It said, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards." I couldn't help but think of our nation when I read that verse. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughters of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." As I read through this passage, I couldn't help but have my mind go to our nation. I couldn't help but think about America. I couldn't help but think about how good God has been to our nation, how it's wonderful to live in America, this land of the free and the home of the brave. And I know this isn't the 4th of July, but as we're coming up to Memorial Day, I just started remembering some things and thinking back about our nation and where it was founded, and where we are today, and how far we've come away from God. And as I read through verse 4, and it said, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards." I began to think about where we are today, the nation that we live in, and why we are in the state that we're in today, and I believe it's because God's people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. But I believe God's hand's still on our nation. His mercy's been good to us. And I believe that's because of verse 9, where it said, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant." And here we have a tragic account of the nation of Israel who had forsaken the Lord in verse 3. And it said, "Israel doth not know." They should have been destroyed. And America should have been destroyed a long time ago. because of the wickedness of our nation. But it said, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. So I want to preach a message to you this morning, say, were it not for the remnant, were it not for the remnant. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. I pray that you'll be with us this morning. Do what I cannot do. Lord, I stand where the arm of the flesh will fail me, and I need your help and I need your touch this morning. Holy Spirit of God, we ask you if there's anyone in this place that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, we ask you that they'll get saved. We know it's your will for them to be saved. And Lord, I pray that you'll so convict their heart that they cannot leave this place in that same lost condition. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that just has an apathetic attitude towards you, they just don't want to do anything except sit in a pew and not tell anybody about the gospel or not serve you in any way, I pray that you'll so convict their heart. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. We ask you to please meet with us in a mighty way. May you get all the glory and honor and praise. May I be your mouthpiece this morning. I want to be used of you, God. Thank you for all that you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. As I read through the Bible, oftentimes we read about Israel and the nation of Israel and how, of course, it was divided into the northern kingdoms and the southern kingdoms, and you had Judah and Jerusalem and all that. But they forsook the Lord, and they went away from God. And as we look at it, I know I find myself sometimes, Brother Daniel, criticizing Israel and criticizing Judah, thinking, how in the world could a nation that was so blessed by God turn their back on him? How could a nation that was so blessed and had God's hand of protection upon them, how could they forsake him? How could they turn away from him? How could they serve other gods? How could they go about and do all these things? And I began to think about that. Like, how could they do that? And then my mind comes to our nation and where we are today, a nation that God had blessed, that from the very birth of our nation, how they were a nation under God that wanted to serve the Lord, that wanted to follow after him. And God's loving and protected hand had been upon our nation. And I think, how could a nation that's been so blessed by God turn their back on God? Where we're having to deal with the struggles that we're having to deal with today. Praise the Lord that we have a governor that has some morals about him. But when we have a president that tries to have an executive order that says transgender bathrooms must be allowed in public schools, we have a problem in our nation. And we have an issue that goes on. You say, are you saying that on a recorded line? Absolutely I am. We live in a perverted nation today. We live in a nation that is not one nation under God anymore. We live in a nation today that has turned their back on God. The churches have turned their back on God. All across America, we have people today that are sitting in churches that are just trying to appeal to people's emotions, not preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not telling people how they can know for sure that they're going to heaven, not opening the Word of God and preaching, thus saith the Lord, but they're giving their opinions on what they think they ought to do and what they ought not to do. Listen, we need to preach God and not our opinions. We need to put God back in His rightful place where He belongs. But in this passage, we think about how God should have rained down fire and destroyed Judah and Jerusalem because they turned their back on him. And I think so oftentimes, I hear people say all the time that if God doesn't punish America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me explain this to you. God doesn't have to apologize for anything he does. Okay? God doesn't have to apologize for anything. But understand this, there's a reason that God has not poured down his wrath. Now, we've seen God's punishment. We're dealing with it a lot. But the reason that God hasn't totally wiped out America at this point is because I believe the same reason he didn't wipe Judah and Jerusalem out is because of that very small remnant that's still doing something for God. I don't want you to think that the work that you do for God is insignificant. Don't think about, you say, well, all I do, preacher, is work in the nursery. Praise the Lord for that. All I do, preacher, is clean the church. Praise the Lord for that. Any work that you do for the cause of Christ is big in His eyes. And listen, I don't want you to think that you're inferior. I don't want you to think that the work that you're doing is going without notice. Because even though you may not be noticed here, God notices it. And because of that remnant, I believe that God's hand of protection is still upon our nation. God is still blessing. God is still working. God is still moving. God is still doing all of these things. And I believe it's because of some people that are dedicated to the Lord. Some people that are real in the eyes of God. I'm not talking about people who play Christian. I'm not talking about people who come to church on Sunday and that's all they ever do for God. I'm talking about people who genuinely want to serve the Lord. I believe they're the reason that God hasn't destroyed our nation today. But I want you to see what happens if people don't serve God, and we see it here in this nation. And I want you to think about the nation in which we live in. And we're going to read some other verses what the Bible talks about. But firstly, I want you to see, were it not for the remnant, countries would have no hope. Were it not for the remnant, people still serving the Lord, countries would have no hope. I think about our missionaries. As I look through those missionary boards and I pray for our missionaries, I think, were it not for people like that, that want to go out and serve the Lord and go into a foreign land where they're uncomfortable, where they're out of their comfort zone, they don't know what's ahead, they've not grown up in that atmosphere, they're trying to live, they've grown up here in America, spoiled, rotten, and everything else, they had everything they could ever want, and then they go to a mission field and have to live in a grass hut or a mud hut and go through the hard times and the struggles. People who are doing things like that are giving a country hope. But because of the remnant, if it weren't for the remnant, there'd be nations dying and going to hell. Countries going to hell. If it weren't for people here in our nation that are still serving God, countries would have no hope. Look what verse 9 says. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. What it's saying, friend, is that our country has no hope if you don't serve God. Our country has no hope if you don't serve God. You say, I thought you said that Christ is our hope. He is. But who's the one that points people to Christ? You are. I am. You say, preacher, well, that's the preacher's job. No, it isn't. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, go ye therefore. I didn't see where it said, preacher, you just go. Well, preacher, that's the deacon's job. No, it's the Christian's job. It's the child of God's job. When's the last time you led anybody to Christ? When's the last time you started serving Him? Listen, if it weren't for the remnant, countries would have no hope. The reason you're here today is because there was somebody that told you about the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason you're saved today is because somebody cared enough about you and loved God enough that they were going to give you the gospel and tell you how you could go to heaven. And because of that, the Holy Spirit began to pierce your heart and drew you into Himself, and you called upon Him and asked Him to save you because of the remnant, because of some people. But were it not for the remnant, countries would have no hope. If it weren't for people in our nation that are still sticking with the stuff, that are still standing right, that are still doing the things that God tells them that they're supposed to do, they're still praying, they're still giving, they're still reading, they're still witnessing, they're still doing all those things, even though it's not popular to do so, they're still working for the cause of Christ, they're still pressing forward for the cause of Christ. That's the reason that God hasn't destroyed our nation today. Let me ask you this, are you one of the helps? Are you one of the hindrances to our nation? Are you holding God's hand of wrath away from our country? Or are you one of the ones that are bringing His hand of wrath towards us? I can't answer that question for you. Only you can. Let me ask you this. Are you one of the remnant? Are you one of the people that are dedicated to the cause of Christ? Dedication is a sacrifice. It's a life sacrifice. It's not something that you do just every so often. It's an everyday kind of lifestyle that you serve God. He never called any one of us to be a Sunday morning, Sunday night Christian. He never called any one of us just to be a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night Christian. He called us to be a Christian every day. To walk with Him. To talk with Him. To tell others about Him. And we read what the nation of Israel did. He began to tell what they were all about. When Isaiah is writing this, he said they were a sinful nation. They were a sinful nation. They were rebellious. They went against God. And that's where we're at today. When we elect a president that believes that you should kill babies and believes that homosexuality is right and public schools should have transgender bathrooms and doesn't even believe in God, bows to a Muslim king. We've got some issues in our nation. And the reason we have those issues is because Tabernacle Baptist Church is not doing what God wants them to do. You say, preacher, I thought we were doing what's right. Not every one of us are. There's some of us that still aren't doing what's right. There's some of us that are still being... You say, listen, I'm just one person. How can I be holding back what the church is doing? How can I be holding back what God has in store? Let I remind you about the story of Achan in the Bible. When God told the nation of Israel, when they were going to destroy Jericho, what did he say? Once the walls fall down, go in and destroy them. LJ, and he said, don't take anything. Don't touch any of their stuff. But Achan saw a Babylonian garment, and he saw a wedge of gold. And you know what he probably was thinking? I believe he in his mind, he was thinking that, hey, I can provide for my family with this. He might have had good intentions, but God said, don't do it. And he did it. And because of that, Achan was the only one affected, correct? No. They went out against little Ai. They just won the Battle of Jericho, the impenetrable city. They went in and had a great victory. But here they come against Ai. And they got their little proud shirts on. And they said, you know what? We don't need all of us. Just some of us will go. And they went out and Ai destroyed and killed several soldiers. I can't remember if it's 26 or 36, but that many people lost their life and they were run out of the presence of Ai. Why? Because of Achan's sin. Because one person did wrong. And it said the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Not Achan. Achan did wrong, didn't he? But it said the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Listen, your one action, you as one person in this church, can hinder what God is trying to do in our nation. One person can hinder what God is trying to do in our town. Listen, let me encourage you, be part of the remnant. Because if it were not for the remnant, countries would have no hope. Look at 1 Thessalonians, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verse 13. Listen to what it says. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Listen, there's folks around here that don't have hope because they don't have Jesus. They don't have hope. Our country does not have hope because God is not first. Because God is not where he belongs. We haven't allowed God to be there. Romans 3:10 says, for there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where we would be without the remnant, without people telling us what the rest of it says. We'd be doomed and destined for hell without hope. Romans 6:23 said, the wages of sin is death. And if we think about that, we think, preacher, that's not a very good thing. But the verse doesn't stop there, LJ. It says, but the gift of God. Even though we deserve hell, even though that we deserve, because of our sin, we fall short of what's expected to get to heaven, even though we deserve to go to hell, that we're without hope, there was a remnant that passed on what the rest of the verse said, that God used some people to write his word, that were faithful so that we could read it thousands and thousands of years later, that say, even though we deserve hell, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way we have hope. He is hope. Jesus is hope. And the only way that we can get from sin to sanctification, from unrighteousness to righteousness, is coming through Jesus. That's the only way we can get there. But I'm glad God used people to show us, to pen His words. And He preserved them throughout the generation so that we can read that we don't have to die without hope. We can go to heaven. The Bible says that you need to understand that you're a sinner, that your sin had a penalty you could not pay, that Jesus Christ paid that debt for you. He took your place on the cross. He died, was buried, conquered death, hell, and the grave, and He rose again. And listen, His bodily resurrection was just as important as His death. You say, why? Because He's a living Savior. He's alive today. We don't have to serve a dead God. We don't have to worship some idol and bow down to some statue. We can serve a God that's alive today. But He says, once we realize that, Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I didn't read anything about works in that. Because Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of what? Works, lest any man should boast. Listen, I don't care how good you've done. Were it not for somebody obeying God, penning down His words when He told them to, and God preserving them throughout the generations, we would have never heard about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, were it not for the remnant, countries would have no hope. He said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's the only way for you to get to heaven, friend. And you got to trust Him today. Without that, you have no hope. You're not going to be able to talk your way into heaven when you stand before Him one day. You have to trust Him as your Savior. But if it were not for the remnant, countries would have no hope. Secondly, if it were not for the remnant, Calvary would have never been heard about. Calvary would have never been heard about. Calvary's Hill. I think about that cross and how Christ bore our cross, how He carried it and He fell under the weight of it, and how Simon helped Him and picked it up and went up the mountain with Him. And when they nailed Him to that old rugged cross and they lifted Him up as an example to mock Him and to laugh at Him, what they didn't understand is that they were showing the one, the Lamb of God, being exalted higher than anybody else around Him. And though they did it as a mockery, they put a sign above Him that said, Hail, King of the Jews. What they didn't really understand is that He was the King of the Jews. But not only was He the King of the Jews, He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And because He died on that cross, we could have hope. And Calvary is still heard about today because of some remnant of people that are still telling about it. Listen, the Bible says if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We need to be proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be claiming Calvary's cross and telling people about it. Thirdly, today, were it not for the remnant, Christ wouldn't be honored. Christ wouldn't be honored. We see our nation today and the political standpoints that are out there and what everybody else thinks. And listen, there's people in our nation today that they may be spiritual minded as far as they may act like they're Christians. But look what the Bible says in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7. It's why it's so important for you to stay right and doing right. Because were it not for the remnant, countries would have no hope. Calvary wouldn't be heard about. Christ wouldn't be honored. This is what would be happening. Mark chapter 7, verse number 6. Look what it says. He answered and said unto them, well, hath Elias prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's where our nation would be. People acting spiritual with their mouth, but their hearts are far from Him. The sad part about it is, church, is that's where most of our church folks are. That's where most of our independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, sin-fighting, devil-hating Baptist churches are. You say, preacher, how do you know? Where do people go on Sunday night? Where do they go on Wednesday night? Where do they go during soul winning time? You say, preacher, I don't have to show up at organized soul winning. You're right, you need to be a soul winner every day. But there's some of you have never come to an altar before. There's some of you never handed a gospel tract out before. There's some of you that say you love God and say, yeah, God's the most important thing to me. But you never talk to Him. Your heart's far from Him. You sit idly by. And idle minds get in trouble, by the way. Because we're a wicked generation. We're sinful people. And just so you understand, when you get saved doesn't mean you've reached a sinless perfection. Doesn't mean that at all. It means that you develop another nature. Not that one replaces the old one, because you still have both. And the problem is we don't feed the spiritual nature, we feed the fleshly nature. And that's why our country's in the shape it is today, because we don't have enough people that are dedicated to the cause of Christ. Listen, you can't sit in here and blame any excuse. You can give any excuse you want. You can say, well, God just didn't make me a people person. You don't have to be a people person to pray. You don't have to be a people person to read the Bible. You don't have to be a people person to hand a gospel tract out to somebody. You don't have to be a people person. Listen, because it's not about you. It's about God. And if you'll just learn to love God, you'll do things that you never thought you could do. If you'll just be part of the remnant that says, hey, let me give you this. I want to tell you about what Christ is. And listen, His name will be exalted. His name will be glorified. His name will be lifted up if the remnant will do what they're supposed to do. If God's people will get excited about the things of God and tell people about it. Listen, our nation is nobody's fault but our own. Nobody's fault but our own. We can't blame the Democratic Party. We can't blame the Republican Party. We can't blame the White House. We can't blame the Congress. We can't blame the Senate. We can't blame anybody but us. It's our fault today. It's my fault. It's your fault. Why? Because we are not serving God. We have forsaken the Lord. We've turned our back on Him. You say, preacher, I'm here today. I haven't forsaken the Lord. How'd you live the rest of this week? Are your lips honoring Him, but your heart far from Him? It said they honor Him with their mouth, but their heart is far from Him. Listen, we need a remnant, a generation of people that won't just say they love God, they'll show God that they love Him. See, when He looked at Peter, He said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, I love you. What'd He say? Oh, thank you. That's all I needed to know is hear it. No, He said, feed my sheep. If you love me, prove it. Prove it that you love me. Don't just tell me that you love me. Prove it that you love me. Listen, our nation needs you. Were it not for the remnant, countries would have no hope. Calvary wouldn't be honored, or Calvary wouldn't be heard about. Christ wouldn't be honored. Look at Psalm 71. Psalm 71. I know there's some preachers that don't like to preach out of the Old Testament because they say, well, we're a New Testament church. Well, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, that tells us what is right, for reproof, tells us what's not right, for correction, tells us how to get it right, and for instruction in righteousness, tells us how to keep it right, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect doesn't mean that you're going to be sinless. It doesn't mean that you're going to be without sin, because Jesus Christ is the only one that's sinless. It just means that you can be mature if you study the Bible. Psalm 71, verse number 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Listen, it's not just something that you say. It's a lifestyle that you live. And our nation depends on it. Our country depends on it. Listen, our schools depend on it. The children, the teenagers, all of them depend on the remnant to do what's right. Because if it weren't for the remnant, the wrath of God would be raining down upon our nation. He'd be destroying us. Why? Because we turned our back on Him. That's why we see churches closing their doors today. That's why we see it, because people are giving up. They're quitting. They're throwing in the towel. They're saying, listen, this fight's too hard. I can't fight this fight. Listen, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Listen, we can still do that today. The same God that Paul served is still the same God that we serve today. He's never changed. He's always the same. He's the same God today that he was back in the book of Genesis. The same God that spoke everything that we know of into existence is the same God that we put our faith in. That faith that helps us to move mountains is still the same God. And he's the only hope for our nation, but he needs some people. He said, I sought for a man among them. It would make up the hedge and stand in the gap. But I found none. I believe he's walking up and down these aisles today, Brother Doug, saying, I'm seeking for a man, seeking for a lady who will make up the hedge and stand in the gap and be part of the remnant. I pray he doesn't say, but I found none. He finds that way too much. As he's walking up and down the aisles today, may he be able to say, man, there's one. There's one. There's one. There's one. There's one of people willing, saying, Lord, here am I. Use me. Lord, here am I. I don't know what I have to offer, but Lord, if there's anything in me that you can get out of me, just get it out of me. Let me serve you. I don't know what I'm capable of. I'm not the most educated. I'm not the best people person, but Lord, I want to be used of you. And that's all God is looking for, is somebody that says, Lord, mold me and shape me into what you want me to be. God, whatever I can be, I'll be for you. That's what he's looking for today. Don't let him say, I found none. Don't let him look at Tabernacle Baptist Church and say, they honor me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. As I read through this book of Isaiah, my heart was burdened because I thought about not just our nation. I expect worldly people, unsaved people, to act worldly. I expect them to do that. But it's sad when God's people act worldly. It's sad when the world acts churchy and the church acts worldly. Listen, we need to be proclaiming God, proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, letting everybody know about the greatest day of our life was the day that we came to ourselves and we realized that we were a sinner. We realized that we were on our way to hell. And we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And he washed us white as snow. He took our feet up out of the muck and the mire of this world and set them on a solid rock and established our going. We ought to be excited about that. It ought to put a joy in our step to make us want to tell other people about it and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with people. But I'm saddened today that you have to twist people's arms and have a contest or a competition. Hey, we'll give you a pizza party if you lead people to Christ. We shouldn't have to do that. You should be excited to serve the Lord. You should be excited to knock on people's doors and tell them, well, preacher, what if they laugh at us? So be it. Let them laugh. The worldly people are going to laugh sometimes. But when you stand before God, all their laughter is not going to be able to say that gave you an excuse not to serve him. You're going to have to look God in his face and look in his eyeballs and hear him say either, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or he's not going to be able to say that, and he's going to say, see all these rewards? They could have been yours. That you could have given back to me. But you cared more about what other people thought. You cared more about what the world thought than what I thought. And I wonder how many people, Brother Daniel, we're going to have to watch be bound and cast into a lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Because we were more concerned about what people said about us, what the world thought about us. Listen, you're supposed to be a peculiar people. You're supposed to be different than the world is. But I wonder how many times we're going to have to stand and watch people have to go to everlasting torment because we wouldn't do what God wanted us to do. I thank God for those that are still serving him. I thank God for those that are still being faithful. As a young preacher, it thrills me to see men of God that are still preaching the gospel today, that have been preaching it for years and years and years and years. They haven't changed. They haven't backed down. And listen, lastly today, if it weren't for the remnant, churches wouldn't be healthy churches. If we didn't still have people that still had a desire to serve God, our churches would just die. They'd just die. But if there's still people that are exalting God and putting God back on the throne where he belongs, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. It's not about being built on you. He wasn't talking to Peter and saying, Peter, I'm going to build my church on you. He said, I'm going to build it on myself. But what's it take? It takes people to show other people about the rock that we stand upon. And listen, if our church is going to be healthy, not anemic and weak, but if we're going to be healthy, it's going to take a remnant of people that say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Here am I. Use me. Teenagers, I want to ask you, you going to serve God? You going to serve God? You say, well, preacher, you don't understand what it's like at my school. Listen, the world's always been wicked. It's always been wicked. But let me remind you about some teenagers, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Young men. David, who was a young person that God used in a mighty way because they just wouldn't bend. They wouldn't bow. And because of that, they wouldn't burn because God was with them. And then we had Daniel thrown in a lion's den. And the lions didn't devour him. Why? Because God's hand of protection was upon him. And David fought against a giant. David didn't kill Goliath, by the way. God killed Goliath. He used David, but God's the one that killed him. I believe there's a little added force behind that rock when it was thrown. When he slung that around and whipped that stone, I believe there was some little bit of force added. I believe God just went like this and blew on that rock and hit him so hard that even behind him, he smacked him in the back of the head and Goliath fell face first right on the ground. Then David said, I ain't taking no chances. I'm going to get his sword and I'm going to cut his head off. You know what that's a picture of? Listen, whenever sin, when you get the victory over sin, cut its head off and just leave it there. Don't give it a chance to get back up. Cut its head off and leave it there. And you know what? You'll have a trophy one day that you can look back and say, hey, look at the victory God gave me. Look at the victory God gave us. And we can stand up in our nation one day and say, praise be to God. Look at the victory we have because of the remnant that are still doing what God has told them to do. Listen, if you don't want to serve God, I can't make you serve God. God's not going to force you into submission to serve him. He wants willing people. Now, he may bring trouble your way. You may have a hard time. But God doesn't want robots. He wants people to do it because they love him. He wants people to serve him because they love him. And I wonder what he'll find as he searches through this auditorium today. As he comes down and he knocks on your heart's door, what's he going to find? Is he going to find a remnant that says, Lord, here am I. Use me. Or is he going to find somebody that says, God, I gave you my time today, and that's all you get. This week belongs to me. Friend, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. He holds your tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. You don't know that you're going to wake up tomorrow morning. You're not guaranteed that. Nobody knows that. I don't care if the doctor gave you a clean bill of health. You don't know that you're going to wake up tomorrow morning. If you have to stand before God and look him in the face tonight, are there going to be some things that you're going to have to regret, or is there going to be nothing between you and the Lord? Are you going to be clean when you see him face to face? Maybe you're lost in here, though, and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You don't have tomorrow. And if you look him in the face and he has to say, depart from me, I never knew you because you weren't saved. You understand hell is a real place. It's not what Hollywood has painted it to be. It's not where there's this little red man with horns and a pitchfork. Hell is a place that burneth with fire and brimstone. It's where the fire's not quenched. Where the Bible says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where the worm dieth not. It's a real place. Just ask the rich man. He's still in hell today. I believe he's still crying out. Let somebody tell my family members, those that throughout generations, throughout years and years and years that have gone on, please send somebody. Tabernacle Baptist Church, we want you to send somebody to tell our family so they don't have to come to this place. They're crying out. Everybody in hell is crying out for this church to tell their family how they don't have to go there. Are you going to be one of them? Are you going to be one of the remnant? Because without the remnant, countries have no hope. Calvary won't be heard about. Christ won't be honored. Church won't be healthy if we don't have a remnant that stands up for God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me ask.